Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
A loss and a win for tobacco.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The latest court ruling involving the tobacco industry is a mixed bag. A federal judge ruled the country's top cigarette makers did mislead the public on the dangers of smoking, but she said the Justice Department can't force tobacco companies to pay. The court did order changes in marketing by the industry, but not the billions in sanctions sought by the government. The judge said other courts have ruled that penalties have to focus on future behavior, not the past. Drug makers Bristol-Myers Squibb and Sanofi Aventis are going to court today. They want to stop Canadian pharmaceutical company Apotex from selling a generic version of their blood-thinning drug. Ashley Milne-Tite says a lot is on the line.
Plavix is the number two selling prescription drug in the world after Lipitor. Last year, it brought in $988 million in the U.S. alone. Nielsen Hobbs is with the Pink Sheet, which covers the pharmaceutical industry. He says Bristol-Myers and Sanofi have lost patents on other drugs recently, and they don't want to lose this gold mine.
They're being quite aggressive in their court filing. They've asked for not only an injunction, but a recall of the product to make sure it completely leaves the market.
They'll be lucky to get all that, says health industry consultant David Webster. Although the patent on Plavix doesn't expire till 2011, he says its claims of exclusivity are questionable. He says the court is likely to sympathize with Apotex.
Because Bristol-Myers and Sanofi Aventis have given the appearance that they are working hard to keep generics off the market.
Webster says if the generic drug stays on the shelf, Plavix sales could drop 70% in 6 months. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Two of Britain's major employer organizations want to limit immigration from Eastern Europe. They say an influx of migrant workers from Bulgaria and Romania next year could cause problems. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
When 8 East European countries, including Poland, joined the European Union 2 years ago, Britain offered the new members full access to the British labour market. Most other member states had restrictions. British employers applauded. The subsequent influx of more than 500,000 East Europeans into the UK has filled labour shortages here and checked wage inflation. But now Romania and Bulgaria are set to join the EU next year, and many British employers have changed their tune. David Frost of the British Chambers of Commerce.
We're now seeing a rise in unemployment in the UK, and I think we need to just stand back before we just throw the doors open to Romania and Bulgaria.
He fears that a fresh wave of migrants could cause friction and put a heavy burden on Britain's public services. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Oil isn't something you'd think Iraq would be short of, but that country is apparently facing a fuel crisis. Persistent insurgent attacks are the problem. That's led the government to double its budget to import oil products. It's one thing to have the world's third largest oil reserves, another thing to process it and turn it into gas. A gallon of gas on the Iraqi black market is $4.92. That's the legal price. If you want to wait in a very, very long line, the price is 64 cents a gallon. The Dow's up 7 points, 11,334 yesterday. This is Marketplace. More than $2 trillion, that's the projected cost of strokes in the U.S. over the next 45 years. Some doctors want the government to put up more cash to halt what they're calling a potential epidemic. We get more from Helen Palmer with the health desk at WGBH.
700,000 Americans suffer a stroke each year. Doctors say smoking, diabetes, heart disease, and obesity are all risk factors, and they're predicted to cause even more strokes as the population ages. That's why some want the government to channel more cash into the National Institutes of Health for research.
Well, what we're asking for is an across-the-board 5% increase, which would be about $1.4 billion.
Catherine Rydell directs the American Academy of Neurology. She says Congress is proposing no increase in NIH appropriations next year. Rydell notes that the most effective stroke treatment, clot-busting drug TPA, was largely developed with NIH funds. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Information available at Medtronic.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. When you hear the word ball, you might think of tuxedos and formal gowns, but that's not the type of function going on right now in Texas. It's a monthly event called the Sustainable Shoppers Ball. Alex Cohen says it brings environmentally sensitive items to the mainstream market.
At first glance, the Sustainable Shoppers Ball looks almost like a county fair. Visitors meander down aisles of tents at the outside market. Vendors sell snacks and cold drinks. Kids ride on a miniature train, and a band plays rock music. But there's a twist. All the food sold is organic and locally grown, the train ride runs on biodiesel fuel, and the band's amplifiers are solar-powered. The man behind the ball is Chris Searles, who also sells eco-friendly goods here.
I sell everything from high-quality recycled paper products to organic hemp shower curtains.
Searles says for years, the market for these kinds of items was rather small and dispersed. But as concerns about global warming and pollution grow, he says, the environment has become a mainstream issue for many American consumers. And so Searles saw a business opportunity. Earlier this year, he began organizing this monthly event, pulling together more than 70 different vendors. A friend had originally suggested calling it the Green Shoppers Ball.
I was just like, no way, it's going to alienate way too much of the population.
Searles says in today's culture, the word sustainable casts a much wider net, appealing to everyone from dyed-in-the-organic-wool hippies to younger Christian conservatives. His idea has proved a success. The Sustainable Shoppers Ball draws in consumers of all kinds, about 5,000 of them per event. Christina Chan bought pickled okra and fresh-baked bread here, items she could find at a grocery store. But she says that just wouldn't be as rewarding.
You know, there's something just about when you come to a place and you see the people who actually grow it that makes it just, you know, all the more fun to be here.
Fun is a key ingredient at the Shopper's Ball.
Do you want to bounce or slide? Okay, it's $2.
As he stands a few feet away from a giant inflatable slide, Chris Searles says there's plenty to get depressed about when it comes to environmental issues. But by adding entertainment to the event, he says, hopefully people will be more willing to buy into sustainability.
We want you to have that experience, that, you know, that giddy experience of shopping where you're like, ooh, I want that one, you know, or man, this is cool, where do I spend money?
Searles says as far as he knows, the ball is the first market of its kind in the U.S. The next Sustainable Shoppers Ball happens tomorrow. In Austin, I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is available to podcasts. To take your favorite morning business show with you on the go, just visit our website, marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Flying commercial hasn't been.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.